Heroes Collective. I am your host, Logar the Barbarian, joined by my co-host,
the Blue Wizard.
And we've got a special guest today. I would say returning guest, but the first time on the Hobos Collective. He's been on the Wobblies and Wizards podcast a few times. Brian Colan, the author of, well, Molt, but as well Vast Grim and quite a few other things as well. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Logar and Blue Wizard. It's awesome to be here on the Hobos Collective. I appreciate you having me.
It's good to have you. It's good to see you again. I'm excited to hear about what you have. You have something coming up, but first we got a quick shout out to our sponsor today.
Absolutely, yeah. We want to say thank you to Ratty and Cantatti. Absolutely. Links will be down in the show notes, of course. Ratty and Cantatti is your absolute best source right now for any zines and gaming supplements and some interesting sort of tarot cards, things of that nature. A lot of fun stuff there. Go check them out. That's Ratty and Cantatti.
Excellent. Thank you. So, Brian, now, last time we talked, you had a few things that were coming out for a game that you had made, Vast. Well, is Vast Grim's a game on its own, but it's sort of based on Morkborg.
Yeah, that's a complete Morkborg hack, a sci-fi horror, sci-fi version, using their core rule system, some of the lore, but doing completely spinning off into its own thing. Me and my friend Ross co-wrote that and co-created it. And then I've also, since then, we have three books that are currently just got into port in California, three additional supplement books that will be going out to our backers any day now and should be available to people sometime in November, which is awesome because continuing to expand that setting and universe. But I like to keep myself busy.
And, excellent.
And I don't like to sleep. So I was driving to a convention and I started to have this idea because I wanted, you know, I love sci-fi. The reason I went and started doing Vast Grim was because I was kind of getting burnt out on fantasy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then I need to scratch that fantasy itch again. So I was driving to a convention. I was like, what if something was going on inside the center of the Morkborg world, like in the core of the planet? And so I started bringing in, years ago, I had done my own fantasy setting for 5e that was all based around these weird creatures that I had sculpted, because I do monster taxidermy that to me is all like life size. And so I based it all around those creatures. And so now I'm pulling some of those creatures and some of that lore and weaving it with the Morkborg stuff. But now, like, inside the center of the planet, there's a mad wizard 6,666 years ago.
I love that.
yes. Had gone through that. There's an area called Grift in Morkborg where there's some cracks in the surface. And they had stolen these three eggs of She, the basilisk god. And when they stole them and went down into the center of the planet, they discovered these magics that were the arcane magics that were innate in the planet itself. And they started using those. And they also then discovered all these other species that were down there. So fast forward to today, and that mad wizard had made these prophecies that the people of the core of the planet would cause a molt where the earth sheds its outer layer and they take over and destroy all of humanity. So now that's what this book is about.
Now, these are your creatures, your creature that you've made. Now, you've done more than just books. Like, you've done physical, ephemera, sculpting type stuff, things like along that nature, correct?
Yeah, like, I got my start in the first convention I did outside of the Atlanta area was Gen Con in 2017, I think it was, where I was in the artist alley and I had brought my monster sculptures. And that's where it like clicked in my brain that, wow, there's all these other people that like RPGs like I do. What if I take these things that I'm making and go ahead and translate that into the world building that I'm already doing in my homebrew games?
So that leads me to the next question. These are... You're making this off of some of your creatures. Are there's going to be any way we can get like a physical creature along the lines of this? Is that in the future plans or anything?
Some. So like I still have a couple left because I would take them and have them at shows and bring, because most of them were one of a kind pieces. Mm-hmm. Just because I get bored and I want to try new things. Yeah. There were a handful that I'd make like silicone molds of and then do resin pours and paint those. There's a couple on my creature curation website. And then I'm sure because as this continues to build out, I'm going to have to do more and more sculptures to add new things and variants to this world. I've also been doing some sculpting on board. Mm-hmm. Like I did a sculpture of kind of like a map of the world, where almost like a bas relief on that, because that sometimes translates a little bit easier and faster when I need a 2-page spread. I need to do art for this. But I want the texture and depth that goes along with my dimensional work.
I like that. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
I'm a little curious as to like what you're sculpting with and what your sculpting process is on that. I know that's a bit off of what we're talking about.
Yeah, totally.
I like to know about how you're making this and how you're putting it together.
Yeah, you mentioned taxidermy earlier. Are they actual taxidermy pieces?
So rewind a long, long time ago, 2007. No, 2014, sorry. 2014, I'd self-published some sci-fi Western comics that I painted with watercolors that nobody gave a crap about, because the only thing that anybody wanted really was superheroes, and I get it. But when I dumped a bunch of money into traditional printing, because there wasn't digital printing at the time, I needed something faster and something that would fulfill my creative needs. And so around that time, there was an emerging like toy scene for like vinyl toys and custom toys, especially in like the graphic designer, street art, like all that scene.
I remember that scene. 2007-ish. There was a lot of that. They had entire little stores of like little vinyl figures and stuff that people were doing art on the figures and stuff like that, and people were sculpting, and there was a lot of cool stuff happening.
Yeah, so I started getting into that, and I started sculpting on top of little 3-inch toys and 8-inch toys. And one of the guys, this guy Sket One, recommended this material called Magic Sculpt. It's a 2-part epoxy, a resin and a hardening agent. You mix it together and it starts to cure. And back then, the only place you could get it was taxidermy shops. So I ordered some from them, and then, you know, I'm sculpting, everything's cool. And a couple of months later, they send me their giant, like, phone book thick sized catalog. And I'm flipping through, and there's like these styrofoam heads to put a real skin of an animal on. And there's these replica eyes. And I was like, well, my stuff's already starting to look realistic. What if I ordered some of these eyes and put those in? So then my little 8-inch toys really started to look weird and real. And I was like, all right. So then I ordered a styrofoam deer base, and I sculpted on top of that. And that's when everything started to shift and change. It's like, okay, now my things can be life size. Now they can like, this is like, these are real creatures.
Nice.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. Tell us, you said that some of those creatures kind of inspired what you're working on now, which is the molt.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
so one of the early creatures that I created, the Bernadazi, which are like lizard man like creatures that lived in a volcanic region in my fantasy setting, I realized that if this mad wizard had these eggs and fused it with the magic, so they're supposed to be like the basilisk she, one of the main story beats in Morkborg.
Yes.
What if that magic infused with those eggs and created this new species? Bernadazi. So I'm like blending the lore of both to make this happen. So the Bernadazi are one of the playable things that you can do, because this is like an OSR style game. I don't have species and classes. I tend to blend those together. So one of the classes you can select is a Bernadazi shard chewer. So you're this species and you're this class, and it's just kind of combined just for ease of use. So that's one of them. I've incorporated some of the others. There's this basalite creature, which looks like pieces of rock with flowing lava all around them, and they have like a slug like body that's made of a molten material. So they just kind of leave lava like trails as they go. So you're playing these weird ass creatures that I've come up with.
Now you did mention one thing earlier in this too. You said that you were like kind of like wanting to make that shift to sci-fi when you did your previous stuff. And you mentioned being a sci-fi fan, which I'd say I'm kind of growing up, especially like I was into a lot of like sci-fi novels and stuff like that. And of course, Star Wars, Enemy Mine, and a lot of the old pre-Star Wars sci-fi stuff that was coming. Sure. I'm curious to know a little bit about your sci-fi interest there.
Of course, I'm 47. So growing up on Star Wars, that was a big thing. I mean, that was like the toys, the movies. Mm-hmm. You were either playing Star Wars, Transformers, or G.I. Joe, or a mashup of the three of them.
Superpowers.
What's that?
Or superpowers.
It's weird because like I read I think I started getting into comic books in like fifth or sixth, maybe like fifth or sixth grade. But then like I was reading some Spider-Man stuff, but then the stuff that really like stuck with me with was like I started getting into the X books because the mutants and all that stuff and all feel like already kind of being an outsider type. That mentality, and then Vertigo came out, and that was like the weird, awesome stuff. And so, yeah. But as a kid, I really played with the Star Wars and the Transformers a ton. But as far as other sci-fi, it's I think everything that you watch really kind of bleeds in and influences what you create. I tend to like goofier, weirder, grosser stuff. It's you know like that are mashups of sci-fi and slight horror, but not stuff where it's like I'm terrified and I can only watch one super tense film at a time.
Yeah, I understand. That makes sense. I thought that's interesting what you said, that what we're watching tends to influence what we're taking in media wise, book wise, like we have the appendix in what you're consuming kind of influences the things that we're creating kind of a thing. I'd be curious to know if you had any more insight on that, because that's an interesting statement there.
Well, I mean, how could it not? Like, how can the things that you see and play and do not, even if it's not something that you actually see in the work, it triggered something in your brain to think of something else. So all of your experiences have to culminate and add to what you're creating. To deny it just seems kind of like a lie, you know?
So this is going to be on Kickstarter. When can we expect that to launch, and how long is that going to last? And furthermore, what can we expect? Like,
ooh,
are we going to be born or like a hardcover book, a zine? Like what exactly are we looking
Absolutely.
At?
Absolutely. So the Kickstarter is launching October 24th. I'm driving back to Georgia from GameholeCon October 23rd. So as long as I make it back and click the go live button at 9 a.m. Eastern, everything's going to be great. In the Kickstarter itself, there's quite a few things, because like this book is it stands on its own. You can use it with Morkborg, but it's also a standalone book. It's going to have all the rules that you need, all the playable stuff in it. So it's a hardcover book, very similar to Vastgrim. I kind of aligned it in a similar pattern. There's a starter adventure in the back of it. Along with that, that's the basic. There's going to be a digital version. My friend Chris, who goes by Glitter in the Dark, has done some Vastgrim soundtracks, cassette soundtracks already, and we're doing some cassette soundtracks for this where, well, there's one officially in the campaign launch, but he's done the dungeon synth style music. Then you open up the sleeve and it's got a map on one side, adventure on the other. I've got a GM screen. Thanks. Yeah, I love the Vastgrim ones we've done, and I think we're going to do this. It's just super fun.
Are those available on your site?
Currently, they're only available at conventions.
Okay.
Because of how our fulfillment partner works, there's not a lot of margin on those. So it's just like we had them available when we first launched them, and then now I'm just kind of taking them to shows with me. But that's also through Infinite Black, whereas this the mold I'm doing completely self-publishing under my Creature Curation company. But I'll also have character sheets, a GM screen, and then I also have a collector's edition book that's going to have a faux leather a faux lizard skin on it, and a big gold emboss on it.
I love that. That's super cool. That's neat. I appreciate it. So this is a hardcover book that's going to be putting out as similar to Vastgrim. No, the Vastgrim book is nice. It's well done, well printed. It's really good. We're the Hobos Collective. We're trying to print and buy books, and I'm looking at somebody like, oh, there's ones that I like, and there's ones that I don't want it, but that's definitely on the line. This is the kind of stuff we want to be able to put together physically. I like it. Is it good?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm looking at this book right now. It's beautiful.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I want everything. For me, when I create stuff, I want to put everything on a shelf and look at it and have it look pretty together.
I love that. Yeah, that makes sense. I get that. I have lots of shelves where I try to do that. I got a lot of unorganized shelves where I'm trying to do that, get around to getting them to look pretty together in a better order. But also got milk crates full of books too. So
I get that. Got to organize it however you can.
You try to get space for them. We'll figure that all out. And part of that, we're trying to figure some of that out today. We got we had a bit of a snafu because we're trying to get all the collective together today because we're doing some work days, working on a few things, getting the shop together, fixing up some of the printers, and trying to get up there a situation where Blue could record simultaneously in the same house without us like feeding off of each other. We ended up having to delay the recording for a few minutes, so please forgive us for that.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm excited to hear more about everything that you're putting together in the collective.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now what we're able. I got like high ambitions. I'm gonna slay the world. But right now we can print zines and staple them. Right.
You've got to have a start, but you've got to have goals that you can try and.
Yeah, we've got a destination in mind. We're working toward it, but we're in the I think just standing up from the crawling phase is where we are right now.
I think we're still crawling some.
a little bit. It's like a three-legged sort of thing going on right now.
Well, we're doing like trying to do a co-op for the four of us. Let's say, what's the word? Worker-owned, worker-self-managed. So all of us kind of going to share a vote. But I'm curious, you launched your own company doing this stuff. Is there any suggestions you'd have for a couple of folks like us trying to jump into something like this?
So, and the whole reason I started a company doing this was because I was starting to do art shows, and wow, taxes are so much better if you're a business and not a person. You know? So that's why I started Creature Curation back then. Things I would say is get out in front of people. The best way to do the shows consistently. If you got to start at local shows, start there, then get out to the gaming shows and put yourself out there, because it's not necessarily the money that you make selling your product at those shows. It's the relationships you build there, because you're around your people and people see you show and show again. And that's how you're like, oh, now maybe this distributor will carry my stuff, or maybe now I can do a partnership or a collaboration with these people. And it's just, it's good to be out around people, like-minded folks.
Well, that is helpful. One of the things we've done is try to hit up some of the they got a little zine fest and stuff like that pop up places. Mm-hmm. Hit up some of those and ran into some awesome folks putting a variety of different things. So that was neat. I think most of what we're planning on today for the work day, we got to modify printers. So we've got some printers we're going to be doing some changes to, which is we've been messing with that. Taking apart printers is interesting. I'm trying to get them to work.
And trying to get them to print consistently once you redo stuff.
Well, we've been fairly successful so far. Cross our fingers. Awesome. Figuring them out. This new one, though, is supposed to print a little bit larger. So we're hoping that that'll be able to help us enter into doing a lot of things. I'm really wanting to do, my goal is to do eventually like Smithsonian binding. Uh-huh. And looking at perfect binding, I don't want to do like, I don't like the perfect binding that's done by like drive through where they just cut it and glue it, right?
Sure. Yep.
I'm looking at those Palladium books, how they have the regular profiles folded over, sewn like you would a Smithsonian bound book. And that's one of the things I'd like to be able to accomplish. I'm not telling you I can do that right now, but I'm telling you what I'm trying to figure out how to get done.
So out of curiosity, because you're a co-op and you want to do the printing, what is... Do you enjoy the printing process? Is that something that, and you love the binding process, or do you love the creative side? Because they're two very different beasts. And if you want to do it all yourself, just make sure that you love what you do.
Well, I definitely have an answer for that. I only got into I've worked around printing for years. And one of the things that got me into that is when I was a kid, I read a lot of comics and I wanted to be a comic book artist, right?
And I'm there with you. Yep.
I drew a lot. Right. And then eventually I worked in design, illustration, marketing, things like that. Some print shops as well along the lines. And I don't particularly like being behind the computer doing that side of the stuff, right? Like, yeah. I swore off Adobe, and I will only use Affinity now.
I love some Affinity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Affinity is great.
And one thing is that I always got frustrated with a lot of that stuff. I like to be hands-on. Like, when I did my own, when I was painting, because I do a lot of oils, is my... I guess my number one medium over the years. I've been leaning into a few other mediums with my physical art. I like to do it physically, but I got into like, you know, I built my own canvases, stretched my own canvases, and I started getting into wood panels and started getting weirder and crazier with that. So the act and working in work, one of the things I did in the print production world was the finishing. I worked in finishing. So prepping, getting everything done nice. I like physically working with my hands, getting those things done. I worked as a framer. I've worked in finishing. I've worked in woodwork. I like physically
putting your hands on it.
Finishing a product. Yeah, I like my hands on it. I like to see the final product that I'm holding it. So I think my favorite thing is actually making the object itself
awesome
to end. So that's kind of why I want to be like, I like to hold what I've done with it. Like, oh, I also cook a lot. I'm the main cook in the house and have been most of my life for my children. They're used to my cooking. And it's a very similar experience for me. I'm sitting there. I have a final thing that I've created with my hands. I like that.
That satisfaction.
Yeah. Yep, totally. You sculpt. So I'm curious if you have any feelings in those realms.
Yes, that side of the print shop is not for me. I worked, I was a pre-press. I did pre-press before I got a job doing full-time like design work at a small design shop years and years ago. And like going around like at a small print shop where you go around and you collate the books and then you take it over to the bindery and all that stuff. Yeah, no, that's not for me. I'd rather somebody else do that for me. I'd rather design and think up stuff and do that. But I have a huge appreciation for quality craftsmanship when it comes to that, especially when it's a smaller boutique co-op thing. I mean, I would almost think about, have you looked into Rizzo printing at all? That's so big with a lot of the indie scene.
I definitely have. We don't have a Rizograph right now. Printer right now. Well, that's one thing I would love to get to. The other thing I'd really like to get, honestly, I'll be honest, like we're the Hobos Collective. We just got donated to us yesterday. I want to give a special shout out to, since we're doing this. Yesterday, we had James donated 2 work tables to us that we've set up. And we're actually, there's got to be some work done on them because we're going to expand the work area for me to work on. So I've got the lumber upstairs to do that now. but with all of our equipment as well has been either purchased with people's stuff, money that has been donated to us from folks. We have a GoFundMe that was going on. We got a couple $1,000 off that, which has helped us get the paper. Cause the paper cutter I originally had was not going to work. We got a much better paper cutter.
If we sharpened it, it wouldn't have done the job.
I mean, it can do, you know, it's useful for me in little small things. I make bookmarks with it all the time.
Sure, but that's not a huge multi-page document that needs some.
No, I make bookmarks for myself to use in my books.
Yeah, if I'm like binding a single book by hand, I could use that paper cutter. But
I don't know if you could in a single book by hand. I know how this paper goes. Maybe if we sharpened it a little bit.
Yeah, if it was sharpened.
Brian, it's really been great to talk to you again.
We're coming
close on time. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Thank you for reaching out. If you ever got something going on, we'd love to talk to you again. But I want just to, before we close out, before we're done with this episode, if you could tell folks where they can find you online, where they can back you, and where they can check you out and find more of your stuff.
Sure, awesome. So the easiest way to find all, because I'm all over the place, is to go to briancolin.com, briancolin.com. It's set up like a Linktree page. I've got all the things, and usually the most important thing is at the top. So link to the Kickstarter's at the top right now. That's the easiest way. And I'll even give you a special link that'll be able to be like anybody, we can tell who came from this particular podcast, went to it. So you have information. You know?
Yes, please do that. If you're listening, we'll have show notes not only in this, but if you go to hoboscollective.com, we're gonna have a post. It'll have all the links. It'll have links to Ratty and Cantati. It'll have links to Brian and to the Kickstarter coming up and everything else. Anything we touched in the program, I tried to throw in there.
Awesome.
Blue, where can they find you on the internet?
Oh, pretty much anywhere. At That Blue Wizard, Instagram and Threads. Just look for the Zuckerberg and you'll find me.
You can find me on Patreon. You can support us there. Patreon.com/ I believe it's Logar Hale Crom. I'm on Logar Hale Crom on most things, but there's so many different social media sites that I'm on at this point. I don't even know anymore. I'm confused. But Logar Hail Crom tends to be it. You can find us on Facebook. We got a group there we've been pretty active at, the Hobos Collective. Just search Hobos Collective on Facebook. Join the group. You can interact with folks. There's a lot of the weird, bizarre things we talk about on here tend to be up there popping up and more. And as always, keep those dice rolling.